brothers and sisters in Christ, new friends, old friends, to sing these beautiful praises to you. Thank you so much for Jared and our worship and tech teams, and just a beautiful time to praise you right here on day one. And now, Lord, as we turn to your word, I pray that you would just begin a great work in each one of us, in families, and then in this church family, Lord, that we just set a new and fresh pace with you right here on day one. God, I pray for each person who's come into this room, those worshiping online, that your spirit would just fall with might and power and authority. You'd use your word in my life, in our lives today. We pray for the North Shore, that you'd do a tremendous, tremendous work that would give you glory. We ask you to push out the enemy and all the distractions, and that we'd be able to hear specifically from you and from your word. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'll say that loudly because you lost your hearing last night with all the fireworks. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Man, oh man, oh man. That was something. I don't think our dog will ever recover from last night. Wow, but what a fun time. But certainly no danger of fire. Man, oh man, everything's wet, isn't it? Yeah, great, great time. I hope you had a great night last night. So glad you're here. First day, you're starting off right. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 21. A standalone sermon today about the all-new you and me. And then next week, we'll begin a series in Ephesians chapter 1 through 3, with two series, but the first series is chapters 1, 2, and 3. And unbelievable, just looking at these crazy, amazing promises that we have in Christ in the book of Ephesians. But today in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he said, they usually last until Valentine's Day. It's a friend of mine who used to own an exercise gym, and he said, everybody makes their New Year's resolution to get to the gym, and he said, it's packed until Valentine's Day. And he said, that for the gym owner, that's kind of the trail-off date. That's when things get back to normal. Isn't that funny how we make resolutions, and it's so hard to stick with them. But everything's always going away and getting old. You know, it seems like nothing ever gets new, right? No one ever calls you and says, hey, we've got great news. Your appliances just got newer this year. We don't know how that happened, but you'll never need to repair them. They're just new forever and ever. But there is one thing that is new, and it's been made new through Christ, and we have the ability, if we'll receive and apply the grace of God, to enjoy and appropriate that newness. And that's what we're looking at here, 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 through 21, pretty well-known passage, but just rich and encouraging. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. And we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to become sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Crazy, rich passage. Three things that I want to point out to you today. The first is remade. Remade. He says, if anyone is in Christ. So we just take it phrase by phrase, word by word. If anyone. So just right there off the bat, I remind you again, this is God's will. God says to us over in 1 Peter, it's not his will that any should perish. And it's my firm belief that when it says that for God so loved the world, that it means every single person. My belief is that the scripture teaches us that God desires for all to be saved if we will repent and say yes. So he says, if anyone, not certain ones, but if anyone. So that includes you and includes me. If anyone is in Christ. What does it mean to be in Christ? Well, the Simple answer is that it means to be born again. It means to come to the place where you admit, and I hope if you haven't done this yet, you'll do it today, because you can. Come to the place where you admit to God that you have sinned against Him. Now, that's not hard for me. That's not hard for me at all to know that I've sinned against God. Your words, your actions, your attitudes, your thoughts. Scripture says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So if you admit to God that you're a sinner and you place your faith in Jesus Christ as the only possible payment for your sin, you get to that place where you say, I'm tired of counting on my religion. I'm tired of counting on how good I am. All these things that don't matter, and they matter, but they're not going to get you to heaven. And so you admit, I'm a sinner, and I believe that somehow Jesus, who was God, died in my place on the cross. And I want to, God, by your grace, turn from my ways and follow you. Then you become, the scripture says, in Christ. And when you become in Christ, all the benefits come with it. If you get in my car and we drive across the causeway and you're in the passenger seat, I pay the toll, I'm driving, but you're going to go across the causeway just as if you had done it in your car and as if you had paid. Everything that I'm going to experience that day, you're going to experience because you're in my car. It's the same when we are in Christ. All the benefits are ours. He says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Praise the Lord. And this new here, there's more than one Greek word for new. This new means to create a new type. It doesn't mean to improve on the old, but it's a whole new type in its being, to be made new. And if you know, praise the Lord if you came to Christ as a three-year-old. That's the best testimony. But if you came to Christ later in life, or you've known friends who came to Christ later, this is a phenomenal thing to watch, to see someone who didn't know Christ. They may have been a pretty good person. They may not have been a pretty good person. But they came to know Christ, and they became a new creature. I mean, it's just a newness there. Same face. I mean, for me, that was a bad deal. But same face, you know, same look. But there's something different about it when you come to know Christ. That's what you're talking about. You become a new creature. That's just a phenomenal truth. Well, then he elaborates on it. He says, you're a new creature. And then he says, in case you need to know what that means, old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, this passed away here, it is in a verb tense that means it's gone for good. Not just setting aside, but gone for good. If you've ever seen someone demolish and destroy a house, an old house that had to be torn down, it's like when you tear down a house and you build a new one in its place. The old things are just gone. Now, unfortunately, too many times as believers, even though Christ has purchased this for us, we try to set the old things just over here within reach. If you can't say amen, say ouch. But what Christ bought for us is the ability to have the old things gone and new things to come. What it ought to look like for us, not on day one, some things, yes. If you came to Christ as I did, I came to Christ as a teenager, I knew there was a long list of things in my life I knew had to be put aside, had to become old things. But as we grow in Christ, there are still more. You know, it's like when you get married. You know, if someone said, I don't think you love your spouse on your wedding day the way that you should, you'd be aghast. I love this person with all my heart. But now 32 and a half years later, I look back and say, I didn't even know what love is the way that I love my wife today. Well, when you come to Christ, there are things you know have to change. But as we grow in Christ, there become more and more that we discover, deeper ways that we should walk with Christ. But the point is, when God makes the old things pass away and new things come in their place, there ought to be change in our life. You can't come to know Christ and nothing change. It is a process from the day you become a Christian to the day that you enter into heaven's gates. So we're all in process. Every one of us are not there yet. But if you were unkind, there ought to be some kindness growing in you as a believer. If you were in the sin of drunkenness, there ought to be sobriety happening in your life. If you were in any kind of immorality, whatever it might be, word, thought, deed, there ought to be purity growing in our life. If the way that we spoke, the words, if we cursed, and boy, help me here, teach our young people that cursing still matters. I mean, I remember the words that I got in trouble for saying when I was a kid at non-Christian parents' houses that are just nothing today. But why does cursing matter? Well, the Lord says to us in Ephesians that we let no unwholesome word come out of our mouth, but only those words which are good for edification. But it's like so many other things, that when our mouths start talking a certain way, the rest of the walls of separation between holiness and unholiness just seem to follow after them. There's a reason that it used to be not okay to use certain words. So help us in that. Help yourself and help our younger generations to know this. But whatever it is, if this is the way that we walked against the Lord, if you put the Holy Spirit of God in us, those things ought to be changing in us. And they'll continue to change, and none of us, again, are there yet. He says, old things passed away, new things have come. So where are you living? Here we are, January 1, first day of the new year. How are we going to live 2023? Yeah, we talked about this last night. We had the young adults and the young couples classes over at our house. And if you're a young adult or a young couple, you didn't know about that, well, then make sure you're in a life group so that you're in communication, because we want you to be a part of those things. But we're talking about this. On the one hand, it's just a calendar page that we turn. But it's good for us to pause and do some inventory. Yes, about our weight and the sopapillas we ate in New Mexico, and now we're replacing with beignets and all this other good stuff. But it's more importantly to pause and look at our spiritual lives, just, you know, and ask, 2022, was I walking like things were new or like things were old? And what am I going to do to make that different in 2023? Well, again, the answer is not in you. The answer is not to trust in yourself, but to yield to seek after God and His ways. If you didn't read your Bible regularly, daily, in 2022, you probably weren't walking like things were new. And so it may be as simple for you as to say, I'm going to do whatever it takes to be in the Word every day. I'm going to say I can't eat breakfast until I'm in the Word, or I'm going to attach it to breakfast, or I'm going to do whatever I have to do to make sure that that is a regular part of my life. If you weren't in prayer regularly in 2022, you probably weren't walking in newness. And so looking at these spiritual exercises that are there for a purpose to help us to walk with and stay close to Christ. But number two, not just remade, but reconcile. Verses 18 through 20, he talks about this beautiful truth. Verse 18, now all these things are from God. The newness, he's been talking about the temporal versus the eternal. They're from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. Now, here's a beautiful thing. There's at least two words for reconciliation in the Greek language. One is a two-way reconciliation. I come to you, you come to me, we both have a distance to travel to be reconciled. I'm somewhat in the wrong, you're somewhat in the wrong. And by the way, in our human relationships, that is always the case. There's always side A, side B, and the truth, usually, right? His side, her side, and the truth. Her side, her side, and the truth, whatever it might be. But there are no-fault conflicts, right? So there's a two-way reconciliation. But this reconciliation here with God, it's a one-way reconciliation, because God has no need to be reconciled. God has no need to change. God is not in error, which makes it even doubly rich that God is the one initiating the reconciliation when he has no need to reconcile. But he loved you so much, he loves me so much, that he didn't want it, couldn't stand it. I mean, he was sufficient in himself, but his love caused him to pursue you and to pursue me when we were the one at fault and we couldn't even begin the process of reconciliation. So beautiful, beautiful truth. I had a huge debt that we couldn't even begin to pay one part of. And so he went on the campaign of coming from heaven to the earth to die in my place, to die in your place, so that he might cause us to come be reconciled with him. It's a beautiful, beautiful truth. So he says all these things from God who reconciled us to himself. How did he do it? He did it through Christ. The only way to do it was through Christ. There was no other way. God, before the beginning of time, knew how he was going to handle this. He knew that Adam and Eve were going to sin. He knew that you and I were going to follow in their footsteps and sin. And he went ahead and created us knowing we were going to do that. But he always knew from before the beginning of time how he would solve the problem, that he himself would come down in the form of the Son and would die in my place and would die in your place. He reconciled us through Christ. There's no other way to be right with God, not through religion, not through anything that we can do, even though they're good things. But the most religious person in all the world isn't right unless they've come to know Christ as their Savior. Doing all of these, and now he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. So we'll come back to that because he's going to go back and forth because he kind of retreats a little bit in verse 19 and says, let me go back. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So the first ambassador, because he's going to call us ambassadors, was Christ. Now we understand, we try to understand, the Trinity, that God is one God in three expressions. We've tried so many different ways to illustrate that, and they usually fall short, and they usually they sound good at first until we realize that, you know, H2O can be these three different forms, but they can only be that one at a time, whereas God is simultaneously these three expressions. Don't think too hard. Smoke alarms will go off when you try to figure this out. But here's God, and so he is sending himself, Christ, as the first ambassador. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. God was on and is still on a worldwide campaign to reach the lost. That's why we're still here. That's why the story and the timeline in the book of Revelation hasn't come to pass yet, in my opinion, because God is still on a worldwide campaign to reach the world for Christ. That's why when you came to know Christ, whether it was down here on a Sunday morning or whether it was in your room or wherever it might have been, that's why you weren't immediately taken to heaven. Because that'd be kind of unkind of God to leave us here if he could just take us on. But he has left us here because he's still on a worldwide campaign to reach the world to himself. Another beautiful truth coming at us here. He was doing so, in verse 19, not counting their trespasses against them. Not counting the trespasses against them. That's you and me before we came to know Christ. That's an accounting term, and God said, and there's a beautiful truth here because we see part of it here, and we see the other half of it in the whole passage, that God was first, and this would be amazing all by itself, that all that you have done against God, and whether you knew the truths of Christianity or not, so many of us did, and as Paul says, we were doubly to blame. We knew the truth, and we still acted against God. But even if you didn't know the truths of his word, he put his conscience inside of you, and you knew that it was wrong. All that you did against God, he would have every right to just snuff us out, to just say, that's enough, and just obliterate us. So first, he didn't do that. He didn't count it against us. He didn't put that into our ledger as a debit. But he didn't stop there because he couldn't, because somebody had to pay for it. He couldn't just dismiss it. Because he's a holy God. People say, why couldn't God just let us come to heaven? Because he's a holy, perfect God. And somebody's got to pay for sin or he can't have it around him. And so he couldn't just overlook it. He did not just not credit it to us and count it against us, but he also paid it. It's an amazing truth. I hope you'll let that sink in. 2 weeks ago, we set up our local bank account. We were with a credit union in New Mexico, and so we had to start over and find a local bank here, and that's a pain because, you know, you try to get the money in the right place and get all the bills, you know, transferred over. And so there was a day last week that I realized that I needed to get some money pretty quickly from my new local account back to our New Mexico account because there was a bill that I had not, you know, I thought I'd look through them all and all that kind of stuff. So I had moved all 52 cents of my money over here, and I needed to get 32 cents of it back, you know, to New Mexico. And and if you've ever set up the moving it over here, it took a few days, you got to set up an external account, and then it's got to be verified and all this, and I thought I need to go quicker than that. And so, I'm not that smart, but a broken clock is right twice a day. And so it hit me. They had given us some temporary checks here at the local bank, and so I wrote myself a check, and then I mobile deposited the check from me to me to New Mexico, and I thought, surely there's something wrong with this. It's not going to work, right? But it worked. Somehow, it worked. And so you see, I couldn't just look at the money that needed to be paid back in New Mexico and just forgive it. Somebody had to get the money in there, so I had to pay it. Well, much bigger than that is what we're looking at here with God. It'd be enough if he just said, yeah, it's all right. But he didn't just do that. He said, it's not only all right, I'll pay it. That's an incredible truth. That's what God did for you if you're a believer in Christ, and that's what he did for you if you will become a believer in Christ today. And then he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. He's committed to us the mandate, is what that word means, of reconciliation. He says, goes on in verse 20, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ. So if you know Christ as your Savior, you are now an ambassador for Him, this word of reconciliation. It's like that childhood game of tag where you've got, you know, one person, and once you tag somebody, you grab their hand. And then if the two of you tag somebody else, you grab their hand. And the goal is for one team to have everybody by the hand. That's the simple picture of what it means for us to be ambassadors for Christ, is that God wants us to not just be happy with just being a Christian. He wants us to have His heart of reconciliation for the world. And so now you have been made an ambassador. Now, Paul would have been familiar with the ambassador system of the Roman Empire, or the legate there. And so the ambassador or the legate would be sent to work out the terms when the conquering nation had conquered another nation, to work out the peace treaty and to begin to apply the statutes of that treaty there. And so here's this same picture, that Jesus has conquered in the right way, in the positive way, all the world through the cross. And He sent you and me out to ambassadors. And so the blood pressure in the room just went up, because you know what ambassadors for Christ has that word evangelism with it, right? And so everybody got a little bit nervous. Me too. By the way, preachers don't just share the gospel naturally all the time. And so you're an ambassador. So here's the deal. All the authority that the ambassador holds is from the one who sent him or her. Our job is just to tell others what Christ has done for us. Now, the devil is running into your mind right now, and he's saying, oh, you're overwhelmed. You're overwhelmed. Just turn off your ears. Just get through this part. You're overwhelmed. You can't do this. That's not the Lord. Because the Lord, the Holy Spirit, would say to you, you can't. But by my power working in you, you can. It doesn't have to be that complicated. But we're busy, so we have to be purposeful in it. And so asking God, you could do this. You could say, you know what, I'm going to make this a part of my prayer time. I'm going to write this down. God, every day in my prayer time, I'm just going to ask you, would you put somebody in my path today who needs to hear about you? So God, I'm just going to put it back on you. And then God, second part of that prayer, would you help me see it? Because we get busy and we're just moving from thing to thing. Would you put them there? And then God, would you help me to see it? And then would you give me the boldness to just say something? You can talk to them about prayer. Again, waitresses, how can I pray for you? I never had one get angry. Oftentimes, they're elated that somebody's asking. About Jesus. Hey, has anybody ever told you how much God loves you? Or even just, where do you go to church? It's a fairly religious place we live. You go to church anywhere? It's not that insulting or that hard. But it just opens up the conversation. God, would you just help me to say something? Just something. The first sentence is the difficult sentence. And you'd be surprised what God would do if you begin to see yourself as an ambassador. But if you ask God to put them there, start looking, because you'd be surprised how He'd do it. You think, oh, the salesman. Oh, thanks, God. That's the person. They want to have my time. How about they give me a little bit of their time? This interruption. Oh, maybe it's not an interruption. Maybe it's God sending someone to me. We are now the ambassadors of the Lord. And he goes on in verse 20, and if you don't know Christ, hear this. It's as though God were making an appeal through us, and we beg you on behalf of Christ. So if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're here in this room, you say, I've been kind of putting that off. I'm not sure about that. You're watching online. God is making an appeal, and we are begging you. Be reconciled. Don't wait another day. You don't know that you've got another day. If we're all wrong, if the Bible's not right about this, and we've all been hoodwinked, we're all fooled, I'll tell you the worst case scenario is that it's changed my life. But the worst case scenario for you is that we're right. And when we die, there's no other chance. You either know Christ on this earth or you don't. So we beg you, be reconciled. Today, just a few moments, we'll have an invitation. And you just come and say, I don't understand it all, but I want to know Christ as my Savior. But then he wraps it up with verse 21, this beautiful truth. We're remade, we're reconciled, and we're righteous. This is a beautiful, beautiful truth that we have been made righteous. So it says in verse 21, He, God, made Him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf. So again, God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, three in one. So God devised a plan, the plan of all the ages. God devised a plan where God would kill God for you. God killed God for you and for me. I mean, if that doesn't give you something on January 1, then you might want to see if your wood is wet. I mean, God killed himself for you. That's incredible. So God says, I want them so much that I'm willing to die for them. As a parent, have you ever seen your kid going through something you just wish for anything you could do something about it? One of our sons, our older sons, broke his arm, bayoneted it, both bones, you know, like this at a skating rink. And so I was in there with him in the emergency department, and they got this drug. I don't know the name of it. You medical people will. But instead of putting you out, it makes you forget. I tell you what, I do not like that thing. Because they were over there for half an hour trying to pull those bones apart and reset them, and he could feel every single thing, but he forgot it. Well, I didn't forget it. I kept going back to hug that kid all night long. Just one more time, I got to have another hug from that kid. They didn't give me anything. But in those times, you just think, if there's just something I could do to take this away from my child, and God had that kind of love for you, that kind of love for me, he said, there is something, and I've known about it from before the very beginning, and I'm going to kill myself for them. That's crazy. That's the kind of love that he has for you. He made him who knew no sin. And here's the other truth embedded in here. That think with me about this. You know when you sin against God, you know the feeling? And again, I'd like to teach you these theological terms. When you sin against God, it feels yucky. That's a deep theological term there for you. But that's if it doesn't feel yucky, there may be some problem. Maybe you don't know Christ. We all, Christians, sin. But it doesn't feel right. But then you take that feeling and you multiply it with every sin that you will and ever will commit for your whole lifetime. That's a lot of sin. No offense. And then you multiply that across the 100 billion or more people who have lived throughout the history of the world. That's a lot of deep, dark sin feeling. I think that's the greatest pain that Jesus felt. Yeah, he felt horrible pain. I don't like to think about the nails. But he took the weight temporarily. Somehow, God was able to separate himself from sin and cast it all on himself in the Son. And he took all that on you. So the one who had never known, and the word there means to experience, the one who had never known one ounce of sin, he became all of sin for all the world, for all time, so that you and I, who had really never known righteousness, even if we'd done good things, we'd never known righteousness. That's being completely right before God. We'd never known righteousness. And he became sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So that when God sees you, if you've become a Christian, when God sees you, miraculously, he doesn't see sin. I mean, he knows about it. Yes, God's not forgetful. But what he chooses to see when he looks at you, when he looks at me, is to see that stamp paid in full because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. So I encourage you today, January 1, it's kind of beautiful that we get to start on a Sunday. Do you know Christ as your Savior? Have you been remade? Have you been reconciled? Have you been declared righteous? You can. All that can be true in your life. All you've got to do is admit to God that you're a sinner who needs a Savior and that you want to turn and follow him. Please don't wait. We beg you, and God appeals to you. Don't wait. And then for those of us who are believers in Christ, right here, day one, are we living in the old? Have we run back? Have we run back and tried to jump back in the casket into the sin of and the death of sin? Could you just today let God tell you? You don't have to beat yourself up over it, trying to find it. God will tell you. If there are places in your life where he'd say, I bought all this for you, and you're just living back over here, today, could you decide that you want to appropriate what I've paid for you on the cross? But you're going to have to not just feel bad about it. You're going to have to not just desire it. You're going to have to make some concrete steps. And they don't usually involve super complicated steps. There's some things that you've quit doing that you need to do again in your spiritual disciplines. There's some things you've started doing that you need to throw back out with the garbage and make it where it's gone and not just set aside. And then some of us need to let God convince us again today that we need to be ambassadors for Him. That's why we're here. So that the rest of the North Shore and the rest of the world might know Christ as their Savior. God's spoken to me. I think He's spoken to you from His Word. Could you just say yes to Him? We're going to pray. Musicians are going to come. We're going to sing. You may need to just come down here and kneel somewhere and pray. You may need to do business with God where you're at. You may need to go sideways, talk to another believer. You may need to talk to a pastor. Would you just say yes to whatever God has been saying to you today and start this day right with Him? Let's pray together. God, thank You so much for this word to me, oh Father. Lord, help us today to let You examine us and to see where we're letting the old come in. And let us start afresh. Let this be the first day of a new day in our individual walks with You and the first day of a new day in a great church that just gets ramped up to a new level of seeking to follow You in newness in Christ as a church. Oh God, help us to say yes to whatever You're saying today. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll sing. You stand with us. First note of the first stanza. You just step out if the Lord has been leading you to come pray, talk to a pastor, whatever it might be. You say yes today. Deacon of the week to come and lead us in prayer for our offering. Here we are, day one of the new year. This is again your time to start off the year right in your giving. It's an aroma of praise and worship to the Lord, and it's also an investment in the kingdom. So I just pray that you'd start off the year right. You'll never regret it. And so, Brother Francis, you come pray, please.
Ask the ushers to come forward. Let us pray. Father, we're just so thankful, Lord, for all that You give to us. And Lord, I'm thankful for the faithfulness of those that are good stewards and faithful givers. And Lord, we praise You and thank You for all that You do for us. Father, now as You've declared to us that we return to You as You've so bountifully given to us. So Father, I pray that You'll bless this offering, use it for Your honor and Your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Pastor Reese is coming. One thing to mention to you, this Wednesday evening, a couple, Charlie and Teresa Seelan, recently retired from the International Mission Board of Japan. Kathy and I served with them for a long time. They're going to be with us here on Wednesday evening, so it's be a great time for you to get started being a part of our weekly Bible study and prayer if you're not serving elsewhere. That time, we'll sing together a little bit. There'll be, on most weeks, a short Bible study, and we'll spend some time in prayer. You don't have to pray out loud. I'm not going to put you on the stage, but you want to be here. It's going to be the power base of our church life going forward, asking God to do a great work in and through us. But Charlie and Teresa serve with Kathy now. They're young, hip, and cool, you know, kind of like Kathy and I are. They're the real deal. But you're going to really enjoy them. So be here if you can. They live in Mississippi now, and so you'll appreciate them. Pastor Reese, let us have some announcements, brother.
Yeah, so just to piggyback on Pastor Ronnie, once again, Wednesday night, we're back in regular routine of our church life. The church is open 6 days a week, so and within those 6 days, we have more than one service, and we want to invite you, if you've only been coming here lately on Sunday mornings, we want to invite you on Wednesday to come back. For adults, you have the opportunity of being here for the Bible study and prayer time, as Pastor Ronnie mentioned. Our students will be meeting once again starting this Wednesday, and all of our children will be meeting back again with Blast, and so be here this Wednesday. Everything kind of starts at 6 o'clock. It kind of layers, and I can't keep track of it. But if you're here by 6, you're good. And then other than that, next Sunday, as Pastor Mike mentioned earlier, next Sunday you don't need to just be here 30 minutes earlier for service. You really need to be here like 2 hours before you showed up today, because you need to be your life group. And so if you've not been a part of a life group, not joined one, please show up next Sunday at 9 o'clock, and we will help plug you into